time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Here we go.
And
hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's the Wednesday edition of Overtime, middle of the week, middle of the month. It's July 15th. Welcome into the show, and we missed you yesterday. MVFC Media Day, rocking the Sanford Pentagon. We were out and about and got a ton of great audio to share, a ton of insight to share, and more on the upcoming season that is anything but predictable in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. But if you were to predict and prognosticate, many people, coaches, analysts, media, say the Jackrabbits will be atop the MVFC come the end of the season. They get the lion's share of first place votes, but a very interesting media poll, coaches poll, twined into one, released yesterday, where the USD Coyotes are, in fact, disrespected at the fifth overall spot. The Salukis, very disrespected, with quarterback DJ Williams at number six. We break down the poll, get you some audio, dive right in very deep to the MVFC talk today, tomorrow, and into the rest of the week of the show coming up really darn soon. Today, we'll focus on the coaches, what we heard from Coach Vitz down in Vermilion, what we heard from Coach Jackson up in Brookings. We also visited with a coach that had the opportunity to coach for the national title last year, Brock Speck at Illinois State. We also extended our area just a bit. We got the elbows swinging out to Cedar Falls, Iowa. We caught up with former Drake head coach, current Panther head coach Todd Stepsis. Really cool guy, great coach, inspiring program out there at UNI. We share that audio in today's program, and then player audio. We'll reserve most of that for tomorrow, as we had the opportunity to catch up with a pair of Yotes, quarterback Chase Mason of the Jackrabbits. Also talk with a few other stars across the MVFC. We'll share all this audio throughout the week. A very busy, very successful, and fun MVFC Media Day yesterday. Bravo to the folks at the Valley, also Summit League folks on hand. Well executed, great media frenzy, and a ton of fun previewing the best conference in FCS college football, the Missouri Valley Football Conference Media Day in the book. Season just about ready to put boot to ball coming up just next month. We dive right into MVFC Media Day, sights and sounds around the corner. Identity crisis testing your wits at the end of hour one. We get into the latest from the NFL, including linebacker rankings, where there's a couple Packers mentioned. One former Packer also roped into the linebacker rankings. And then today they've gone ahead and released. We were off yesterday, so we're double dipping on rankings. Today they released the wide receiver rankings. And if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, you have a strong opinion on who the best receiver in the league is, and you have a very good, valid opinion on that, because if it were me and Justin Jefferson were on my team, I would be banging the table saying he's the best. Witness his greatness every single Sunday, and Justin Jefferson is among the best receivers in the NFL. Where did he land on the list? You'll have to wait and see. End of hour one, wide receiver, linebacker rankings, and so much more from the National Football League, including some spotlight commentary on a new pairing in Minnesota. All the articles you can handle right now in the lead up to the NFL season, they're talking about coaches on the hot seat, quarterback rankings, wide receiver, linebacker rankings, as we talked about. They're also talking about new coach pairings, most exciting pairings in the NFL. We could talk about Mike Evans out in the Bay and the electrical substation. That's not the pairing. But Mike Evans and Coach Kyle Shanahan, how do they fit together? How do they mind meld out there for the Niners' success this year? Also on the list, Cam Ward and Brian Daboll in Nashville, and Kyler Murray and Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. We dive into the nuts and bolts of that article and more at the end of hour number one. Then we shift gears into hour two, revisiting your headlines and highlights, audio from MVFC Media Day and more. And we dive in in-studio conversation with new Augustana volleyball head coach, former Augustana volleyball libero, Erica Butte, going to be in studio making her debut as the new leader of Augustana volleyball as of just a few weeks ago. Coach Butte stops by right around 12:20, and we round out and wrap up the show with the latest from the World Cup, where France, not a great performance yesterday. Spain is the team moving out of the World Cup final, 2-0 final in that game. Today we'll see England and Argentina, 2 o'clock on Fox. World Cup talk, Major League Baseball All-Star Game recap, and of course, can't miss edition, as always, at the end of the show, of the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's get right to it in the scorecard portion of our number one. Major League Baseball All-Star Game last night, American League 4, National League nada. 4-0. Dylan Cease with a win. Early start for the American League. They put up 3 runs in the first. National League held to just 3 hits. And Doug Glanville taking notice of the very impressive pitching last night across the board.
I mean, complete domination. And it's sort of a window into, you know, where the game is right now. It's really tough to hit when you have guys throwing 100 miles per hour. It's moving. It's and then you see them for a minute and then they're gone. And that flicker, you can't even adjust off it. And then the next guy has to come up there and, you know, hasn't seen someone maybe a couple times or in a different league. And that's the advantage that the pitchers may have. And tonight they also executed. So there's not much you can do. Cody Bellinger, you know, in his post game was like, you know, even from my side, he could see that these pitchers were just, you know, really electric. And that's what happened tonight. But the first inning, that was it. Christopher Sanchez couldn't locate, and they jumped on him, and that's all the runs they needed.
That's all the runs they needed. All it took for a victory for the American League, 4-0 last night in the 2026 Major League Baseball All-Star Game. League-wide action will have to wait till Friday. We do have a standalone resumption of the second half of the season on Thursday night. That's the Mets visiting the Phillies in Philadelphia, 6 o'clock on ESPN. For you Twins fans, they're back in action at Wrigley against the Cubbies, 7:05 Friday night. Pregame coverage at 6:30 right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Let's dive into WNBA chatter. Today and tonight, we'll see the Sparks visit the Lynx at noon today. Valkyries and Fever a lot later, 7 o'clock go time on USA tonight. And into the NBA, the Kawhi Leonard situation is maddening, upsetting, confusing, weird, all of the above. Here is Adam Silver on the timeline for when we could expect some sort of a decision or a finality regarding the Kawhi Leonard contract, salary cap, skirting situation between the Clippers and now up to Toronto.
I'm hopeful that it will wrap up this summer, so that would continue to be the goal here. And I just want to clarify so everyone understands, I mean, the league did not pause the trade. The parties to the trade made a decision not to go forward, given that the investigation remained open and any possible impact on Kawhi or his contract was yet to be known. And so they chose not to live with that uncertainty, but that was well known before the trade was proposed. And I didn't think there was any reason for people to believe that the status of Kawhi Leonard would change merely because he was traded. The investigation needs to run its course.
There you go. Adam Silver, latest there. Courtney Cronin, not a fan of a, quote, embarrassing situation for the league.
The NBA failed within this whole situation by not making it expedited from the very start. They had months, nearly a year, to get this thing done. And now, because we're up against training camp starting in more than a month, that free agency is kind of rolling to this stop point right now, that this trade is being held up and not finalized. Now the NBA is like, well, hey, guys, hurry up. Like, no, you were the reason that this thing was held up in the first place because of the lack of urgency that they had from the very start to get this thing resolved.
This is, frankly, a very weird situation. I can't really think of a comparison in the NFL or Major League Baseball where you would trade a player under an active investigation that would affect his eligibility moving forward via suspension, contract situation, voids, etc. moving forward. Very ugly, very strange situation centered up on Kawhi Leonard, and now the since traded, not official, but since traded Kawhi Leonard, which might not go down in the future depending upon the results of that weird situation and subsequent investigation. Michelle Smallman talking LeBron James. She thinks it's clear what's coming.
Everything that we're hearing from Rich Paul and from Shams and others who are reporting on this, indicates that he's heard everything he needs to hear. When Shams is talking about the voice notes and Rich Paul has passed them along to LeBron, it makes you think that these teams have made their best pitch to him and he knows what he's doing. It's just a matter of how am I going to deploy this information?
How am I going to deploy this information? How am I going to make it the biggest circus possible, most dramatic decision possible for LeBron James in the future of a playing career? That sounds to me like what Michelle Smallman is saying there, but many people think it's Cleveland, maybe it's Miami, maybe it's Golden State, and they're waiting on the Anthony Davis trade. For me, personally, I'm always wrong about this stuff, but I'd say Cleveland 1, Miami 2. I could be convinced Golden State 3, but also Philly in the mix, Denver, Minnesota on the fringes. I don't think that's likely, although I will say this again. Minnesota and Denver are pretty darn good basketball fits for LeBron James. Probably better than a couple of the aforementioned scenarios out there, especially Cleveland. But I think that Cleveland, the heartstrings, the full circle moment, the opportunity to end it where it all started, means a lot for LeBron James. And I don't think we're going to have another opportunity like this, but you never know. LeBron could play till 50. And then that year, age 50 season, say, I just want one more rodeo in Cleveland. Give me this. I'll be a seventh man off the bench. Just don't want to be a part of a team and want to end it where it all started. But we'll see if that has ended up to be the decision. Cleveland, Miami's a good basketball fit. Opportunity to contribute, be there, help Giannis and others. Bam Adebayo and his swinging fist to the head of Tyler Hero. Contribute and win in Miami. We'll see about the future of LeBron James, but still very muddy at this stage, although Michelle Smallman thinks that muddy does have a underlying decision already pretty well thought out by LeBron James, Rich Paul, and his camp. Now, moving forward into the National Football League, a reminder, we're less than a month away from the official kickoff to the season. Preseason football, I know, but football nonetheless. The Hall of Fame game going to be Thursday, August 6th between the Panthers and the Cardinals, 7 o'clock on NBC. Preseason opens for the Packers on Thursday, the 13th of August, on the road at Pittsburgh. Lions at Bengals, 6 o'clock that night as well. Friday, August 14th, Broncos open the season in Atlanta against the Falcons. Saturday, the 15th of August, 1 month from today, Browns at Bears, Vikings at Giants, Rams at the Chiefs. Those games rounding out week one of the preseason for our area squads. College football talk. We got a lot of great audio to share from MVFC Media Day yesterday, but Yote fans will want to take notice of the snippet of a conversation with Matt Vitsthum we had centered up on the QB competition. Unsurprisingly, Coach Vits was not out there saying, here's my starter, everybody. Thanks so much for the questions. I've got an answer for you. He does not have an answer yet on a three-way quarterback competition, but here's what Coach Vitz had to say about the three quarterbacks competing, what he likes about the three, and where the team will go when they do make that ultimate decision later on this summer.
Love all three kids. All three guys have really bought into me. You know, obviously coaching that position, you know, the year prior. I love those guys. I trust those guys. This is going to be a tough, tough decision for me and for our staff and for our football team eventually. You know, Nevin Crimascoli has obviously kind of been with us the longest. He's, you know, kind of the seasoned vet. He's been Aiden's backup the past two seasons, has seen some time in our league, has played some snaps. Nevin is kind of that epitome of consistency, right? He knows how to command a huddle. He does that those things really well for us. Jackson Proctor brings a ton of, you know, experience. You know, he's ran the football. Yote fans aren't used to seeing, you know, the quarterback run the football, so he can provide some of that. And then I think lastly is Austin Majewski from Colorado. Just a younger player for us. You know, how fast can he catch on? Because his talent is unbelievable. It's undeniable. So yeah, just kind of seeing how fast he can mature and grow into that leader that we needed him to be in that huddle. So love where we're at, but more importantly, I think we're going to surround those guys with who's ever out there, the 10 other guys. They're not going to have to play out of their mind great to be good for us. We're going to make sure we put them in great calls. We're going to surround them with great people, and who's ever out there, the Yotes will be just fine.
Yotes will be just fine. Three-way quarterback battle. I believe there's five total quarterbacks on the roster, including incoming recruits, but it's a three-way battle. Again, Austin Majewski. You also got Jackson Proctor and Nevin Crimascoli. Toscoli, who has played limited time at USD, couple long touchdown runs to his credit, started at NIU, got to get my letters correct, NIU, Northern Illinois. You got Proctor coming over from Dartmouth, the Majeski, a true blue recruit from Colorado, and a highly thought of recruit from that Keystone State. Certainly a big-time competition on the way at USD, and that is the latest and greatest from Coach Matt Vitzthum yesterday at MVFC Media Day. Now for the Jackrabbits, the quarterback there, Chase Mason, talking about what he learned last year into this year about progressing as a quarterback. He's always been described as, well, Chase Mason's such an athlete. He's such an athlete playing quarterback. He's a dual threat. He can do it all. Have you seen this kid run? Have you seen him jump? Have you seen him hurdle? Have you seen him throw a football? There's a lot to love athletically, but here's the quarterback's words on his own, talking about how he's progressed as a signal caller through the injury last year, throughout the summer, and as we gear up for 2026.
Yeah, I think just understanding the game to a whole different level. And then I think like part of the injury was also like I was able to take a step back, kind of like I said. You can like kind of look through the game through a different lens than before. So just understanding the game, not only with the X's and O's, but understanding the defenses, and then being able to, I have the opportunity to audible things, so things like that, and signal routes. So there's a whole different game inside the game of football, so it's been fun to learn, and Coach, he's been great at coaching us up as QBs.
And that is Viberg Hurley alum Chase Mason yesterday at the MVFC Media Day. We'll get you some more audio throughout the week, centered up on coaches today, players tomorrow. Also for you UND Fighting Hawk fans, I know you're out there in Sioux Falls and beyond. I did have the opportunity to catch up with the sharp young quarterback, Jerry Kaminsky of the Fighting Hawks. That audio will be shared tomorrow on the show. Rounding out the scorecard, Golf World underway tomorrow from the Open, July 16th through the 19th. FIFA World Cup continued yesterday. Spain got by France 2-0, and Spain moving on to the World Cup final. Today we'll see England meet up with Argentina, 2 o'clock on Fox from Atlanta. Third place game going to go down Saturday from Miami, and the final going to be on Sunday. That's the latest and greatest on the scorecard. Let's dive into your Reliant Bank headlines of the day. As always, for a better local banking option for you and yours, check them out online or in person in the 605 ReliantBank.com. Aiming for a full return from his 2024 All-American campaign, senior running back Charles Pierre Jr. has been named on of the 30 FCS athletes to the Stats Perform preseason Walter Payton Award watch list. After missing most of last year with an injury, the 2024 All-American running back is primed to make his return to the gridiron this fall while being named a second-team preseason All-American by Stats Perform. Entering this year, Pierre Jr. sits fourth in the FCS era in a career 100-yard rushing games with 6, and 4 of those 100-yard rushing games for him have come in front of the home crowd at the Dakota Dome. Charles Pierre Jr. named to the Walter Payton Award preseason watch list. He's not alone here in South Dakota. SDSU quarterback Chase Mason, also one of 30 players who has been named to the initial watch list for the game and the subdivision's most prestigious trophy, the Walter Payton Award. The senior from Hurley, South Dakota, Mason enters his second season as the Jackrabbits starting quarterback this fall. Limited to just 9 games last year due to injury, Mason led the Jacks to an 8-1 record in his starts and accounted for 21 touchdowns, 15 through the air, 6 on the ground. Also completed 65% of his passes for over 2,000 yards. The official watch list for the Walter Payton Award will be updated periodically, but Chase Mason on it, as is Charles Pierre Jr. South Dakota State linebacker Cullen McShane was named yesterday to the initial watch list for the Buck Buchanan Award that is presented to the top defensive player in the subdivision. The senior from Marquette, Iowa, an MFL Marmack High School, McShane was one of 30 players to receive mention on the initial watch list. He's coming off a 2025 campaign where he ranked 2nd on the Jackrabbit squad with 88 total tackles, had 7.5 tackles for loss, a sack, and a forced fumble, en route to being named to the Missouri Valley Conference all second team just last season. Cullen McShane, linebacker for the Jackrabbits, on the Buck Buchanan Award watch list. Now, the moment you've all been waiting for, South Dakota State has been picked to return to the top of the Missouri Valley Football Conference this fall. That's according to the preseason poll announced yesterday morning at the league's annual media day. Jackrabbits received 28 of 36 first place votes. You'd call that the majority. You'd call that the lion's share. Jackrabbits are a true blue favorite in this deal. 28 of 36 first place votes tallied 312 points to outdistance Illinois State, who played for a natty last year, for the top spot in the 9-team poll. So here is your poll up first. South Dakota State, 28 first place votes, 312 points. Big stiff arm down to Illinois State. Redbirds had three first place votes and 256 points. Notably here, you've got Youngstown State coming in third in the poll, but the Penguins didn't get any first place love or hype from anybody. Not a single first place vote for Youngstown State, which to me means many, many, many of the ballots had the Penguins at two. None of the ballots had them at one, because in order to get to that three spot without any first place votes, you got to have a lot of two second place votes. So Youngstown State third, UND voted fourth. The Fighting Hawks got two first place votes. USD coming in at five. The Yotes got two first-place votes, and then the Salukis of Southern Illinois and dynamic quarterback DJ Williams disrespected at six. But I will tell you this. I'm not arguing any which way. I'm not dogging on any program, because all six of these teams are really damn good. It's hard to argue any which way, because every time you have a yin, you got a yang. Oh, well, this quarterback moved on. Oh, well, have you seen this linebacker on that team? What about their returners here and there and everywhere? What about their coach? What about their trajectory? Where they went last year, where they're going this year? Hard not to go to bat for all six of those programs. And then the rest of the way, you got UNI, Indiana State, Murray State. Of course, none of those programs received first place votes, but that's 7, 8, 9 in the poll. UNI, Indiana State, Murray State. South Dakota State scheduled to open the regular season by hosting the Stetson Hatters at the end of next month. That is August the 29th. And then lastly, players to watch, 19 Jackrabbit student athletes were recognized as MVFC players to watch. Full listing of that: Chase Mason, Ramon McKinney Jr. at running back, Graham Goring, Lofton Ogroski, a wide receiver. You can view all of them at GoJacks.com and GoYotes.com, where you can view the 10 USD Coyotes selected to the MVFC Players to Watch list. And those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number one. We got a lot to get to. We'll dive right back in to the MVFC Media Day talk coming up next, because just like me, I know you're starving for football. I'm ready. I'm hungry. I'm starving for the NFL, college football before too long as well. And we got a big time appetizer yesterday right here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota with MVFC Media Day. I will share a lot of our conversation from yesterday. We're centered up on coaches today. So we'll hear from Coach Matt Vitzthum down in Vermilion, Coach Dan Jackson up the road in Brookings. We'll also spotlight UNI. And I had the opportunity to catch up with a coach that got to coach for a national championship last year. That's Brock Speck at Illinois State. We'll share those conversations. More sights and sounds coming up next on this middle of the week, middle of the month edition of Overtime, right after this.
Don't miss a moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you on this middle of the week Wednesday edition of Overtime. We missed you yesterday, but we were checking out which teams are going to make the climb up the rankings, climb up the trials and tribulations of the MVFC yesterday at a Missouri Valley Football Conference Media Day. All the audio you can handle on the way in just a moment. Speaking of making the climb, you can make yours right now. Ready, set, climb by playing Quickstar's Mountain Dew Quick Climb. Score cash over the summer. Now through August 16th, just over a month to go, you can play free every day inside the Quick Rewards app, featuring daily cash prizes that climb all the way up to a $250,000 payday at the top. Buy select Pepsi-Cola beverages to earn bonus plays today. That's your summer. Your climb, your win, only at Quickstar. You can view the full rules at quickstar.com/sweepstakes. And of course, you guys know I'll always go to bat for Quickstar's fast and friendly service. Life is busy and Quickstar gets it, from fresh coffee and tasty bakery treats to grab and go meals. They've got you covered. Fresh groceries, easy meals, service with a smile. Quickstar, where your day gets better. See you next time at your local Quickstar. Well, I'm very excited to share the snippets of audio we got. And by snippets, I mean full-fledged, fun conversations with the coaches and the players. We're going to center up on coaches today, players tomorrow. We'll highlight and feature Chase Mason tomorrow on the show, Tyson Bowes, Nathan LaPerry of USD, and many more. But let's talk some coaches, talk with some coaches now. We'll start out in Cedar Falls, Iowa, where to me, that's an area program. You look at the map of the MVFC. We got the Fighting Hawks. The Fluffy Cows are no more in our neck of the woods in this conference. So we're kind of taking a step back from some Bison coverage every now and then. We will still feature the who, the what's, the when's, the where's, and the why's for NDSU, but they're no longer in the game of MVFC football. So we'll talk some Fighting Hawks. We'll, of course, be talking all the time about USD and SDSU, but we're extending over an olive branch, if you will, to Cedar Falls and talking some UNI Panther football. Great head coach Todd Stepsis, by way of Drake, is in year number two in Cedar Falls. Here's our conversation yesterday, centered up on the Panther football team ahead of 2026 getting kicked off.
Media day here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and we're spotlighting our area programs and extending that out to UNI Cedar Falls and welcoming in Coach Todd Stepsis to the program here. Coach, it's great to have you here in Sioux Falls. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks for having us. And yeah, you're right across the border, you know, so it's a piece of cake. We'll take you as one of our own. We're happy to be a part of your local coverage here.
Hey, I cut some of my teeth in Iowa, so I have a little soft spot for UNI. But let's talk about the Panthers, man. Year one, retrospectively for you. How did that go, and what do you feel like the kind of opportunity for growth looks like for your team this year?
Well, you know, yeah, the results weren't what we wanted, but I think at the end of the day, we needed it. You know, we needed to be able to see what we do well and what we didn't do well, own those mistakes, figure out how to correct them and move forward. And, you know, you always look back at hindsight and, but what could I have done differently? You know, as a coach, you know, probably could have learned about our team a little bit better than I did, and in competition, in the heat of the battle, you know, who you thought that guy was, all of a sudden, that's not the guy you thought he was. And so, you know, just taking more time to get to know your team and what their strengths are, what their personalities are, what makes them tick. And then, you know, now year two, you feel like you know them. You know, you feel like not only do you know who they are, but, you know, who their families are, what they're all about, and then how can they be successful, and what positions can we put them in to be successful, and how can we help them reach their potential and become the best they can be. And you know, year two, you know, being the son of two former educators, you know, the second year of teaching always feels a little bit better, you know. And you know, you can't take your foot off the gas, but at the same time, you know, you got a lot more information that can help you in the future, and that's how we feel.
Let's talk to me about your team as far as roster turnover. It's inevitable at this time of college athletics. You got a lot of movers and shakers, transfers in, transfers out. What was the turnover like in your program year one into year two as you guys are gearing up to start the season here?
It was minimal, you know, and that, I think, you try to compensate beyond money, you know, so with a great work environment, a great culture, a great team environment, and so that's what we've really tried to build this first year and a half. And so, you know, we didn't lose a ton of guys. And I think, you know, better teams maybe lose more as far as guys maybe jumping to a higher level. But, you know, it was few and far between. But I do think that there's a secret sauce in how you recruit and what you're looking for. And, you know, for us, you know, I'd much rather have a guy that really wants to be a Panther than a guy that maybe is a four or five star, you know, that maybe sees us as a stepping stone to somewhere else. And so, you know, we've done a really nice job, you know, with our first two recruiting classes. You know, so we got here, those guys that were freshmen a year ago, the guys that are incoming freshmen now, and then really the 27 class. It feels like we've got a lot of UNI Panthers. They've got that character, that heart that we look for. And then, you know, their families and what they're really really looking for and what's important to them goes beyond just the game of football. And so, you know, we're fortunate to have a lot of guys back from a year ago that proved that we can count on them. You know, so they were bright shining stars in kind of a dark season. And then also, too, we've had some young guys really step up and show us that we can count on them.
Coach, lastly, we're talking UNI Panther football. Coach Todd Steps is here on Overtime. Give me a couple names to know. Obviously, quarterback continuity is a big deal, but everybody wants to know about the quarterback every single year, regardless of program or stature, et cetera. But give me a couple guys to know that'll make UNI Panther football go this fall.
Well, you know, quarterback is a position that is critical. And so Jackson Daly started the last half of the season for us and did a really nice job. You know, had a win in there, our last home or second to last home game. And then had some really productive games late. He's our best leader. He was elected captain. He got every single guy on the team voted for him. And so I think that's really where it starts. You know, you need a guy at that position that not only has the skills and the critical factors to play it, but more importantly, who can elevate those around him. And that really, I think, is his superpower. You know, he brings out another gear with anybody that's in that huddle. So, you know, Jackson Daly, who's here with us today, is a phenomenal player and an even better person, you know, on offense. And then defensively, we brought Johnny Powers. He's going to be our starting middle linebacker this year. We lost all three of our linebackers to graduation last year. But what's kind of interesting is I think we might be better, you know, than we were a year ago at those spots. And him being one of them, amazing tackler, amazing savvy for the game, great head on his shoulders. Dad was a All-American wrestler, UNI Hall of Famer. And so, you know, he's got the intangibles that you want your players to have on the inside, the heart, the mind, the soul, the spirit, all that stuff. And he brings that same leadership quality of elevating others around him on the defensive side. So those two guys are going to be great players for us.
A little UNI Panther football preview. Coach Todd Stepsis. Coach, thanks so much.
Yeah, appreciate the time.
UNI Panthers yesterday. Todd Stepsis was our guest at MVFC Media Day. They'll open up the season on the red turf of Eastern Washington. That matchup Saturday, September 5th. They'll face off with Stepsis's former school, the Drake Bulldogs, at home in the home opener the following week. UNI Panther football picked 7th in the MVFC preseason poll. Now for Illinois State, they played for a national title last year. Head coach is Brock Spack. We had the opportunity to catch up with him. Pretty darn fun conversation centered up on how does this team, how does this program raise the bar as high as it was set last year beyond where they got last year?
It's MVFC Media Day here, talking Illinois State Redbird football. Head coach Brock Spack here is with us. Coach, appreciate the time, and it's a pretty fun event here in Sioux Falls, and we're excited to have you.
Yeah, it's great, and we appreciate being here. It's a lot of effort goes into this, and it's great for our league.
And certainly you guys made your mark last year. A very fun run, and certainly a great season for you. I know there's not a ton of carryover year over year, but what did last year mean to your program?
It always means a lot to go that deep in the playoffs. You know, you play for a national championship, but when you get there, you want to win it. Mm-hmm. So we've been there twice and come up short, very, very close games. But I told the players after the game, and, you know, there'll be a time when you'll think about this four game on the road, winning four games in the playoffs. So you'll be very proud of what you did here. But it means a lot. Helps in recruiting, obviously, but brings a lot of notoriety to our, not just our state and our town and our university, but the conference. And it's, the conference is excellent.
You guys got a big season ahead, and I know in football they talk about whether you're in a grade school, high school, college, or pro, raise the bar. You guys raised the bar last year up to that national title contender. How do you guys stick around and be that and more coming up this fall?
Well, I like our team. We have a lot of young guys that didn't play a ton last year, but got a lot of practice time, and all my years in the Big Ten, it was, you know, going to bowl games were big for your, not just your team to get them, but for your young guys who aren't, you give them a whole another, it's like spring and a half to get ready to play the next year. So the teams that continue to go to the postseason are teams that usually are pretty good every year, so because of the practice opportunities. So, but you're right, it is important to our team, but we've seen a lot of advantages, you know, off the field in recruiting and and notoriety and helps fundraising, of course. And but it's great for our young players.
Talking Illinois State football, head coach Brock's back here on Overtime. It's ESPN Sioux Falls. Coach, lastly, just highlight a couple guys on your team that are going to make the difference this year. You got a couple studs here with you. There's a lot to choose from, but give me the nuts and bolts of a few guys that make this team so special.
Well, everybody talks about Ty Niekamp, and he's a very good player, and there's no doubt about it. He is, and they love the kid. He's a great, tough kid, good leader, a really good player. We'll be up for a national awards if he stays healthy, not going what he does. But his brother now is going to be a real deal now. He's a very, very good player. I think he can come be one of the better pass rushers, you know, we've had at our place. And he's still very young. He's still learning how to play. He's a three-sport guy at a 7A school, high school in Illinois, in normal community. It was it's one ring down from the highest level. So a lot of, you don't see kids play three sports anymore in high school. And he's a very good athlete. He's big, long. So we're hoping that he'll be a really good pass rusher for us. He'll be a guy to keep an eye on up front. We have a good receiving core. I think our receiving core is pretty good. Dylan Lord had a really good national championship game. Maylander was a rookie of the year, and we didn't see that coming, but he had a really good year, and he's gotten better. We have a transfer from Ethan Loss is going to be a good player. We got a couple guys that were returners last year, though, maybe more forefront as pass receivers. So like our receivers a lot.
Certainly a big season ahead for Illinois State. That's head coach Brock's back. Coach, thanks so much for the time.
Well, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Fun conversation yesterday with the coach that was in the national championship game of FCS college football just last season. You will not find a better start to a season schedule-wise in terms of the warm and fuzzies, the office debate and office rivalries than Illinois State has. Their first four games are all within the state of Illinois. They play down to an NAIA opponent, St. Francis, in their opener at the end of August. They've got Western Illinois on the road in week two, Northern Illinois playing up to the Huskies in week three, and then home to Eastern Illinois. So if you're keeping score at home, that's the entire state. Save for the Illini and Northwestern, you got Western Illinois, Eastern Illinois, Northern Illinois, St. Francis, and of course they got the Salukis on the schedule later on in the season. We got a boogie through the next two. We'll start with those Yotes down in Vermilion. New head coach Matt Vitzthum joined us yesterday.
Getting caught up with new USD Coyote head football coach Matt Vitzthum here at MVFC Media Day. Coach, fun day. You can kind of feel the buzz and excitement here about football season.
Yeah, obviously, just looking around and being around the other coaches and obviously kind of top end players in our league, it does kind of give you that itch and that bug to get out there and get going. Trying to enjoy the last couple weeks of summer here that we have, but yeah, it's going to be a great season. Our league's packed with great coaches and players, so excited to get going here soon.
Hey, no doubt about it, and certainly you got a lot of great players coming back on your team, a lot of new faces. Talk to us about the pair of guys here with you today and the impact they'll have this year for you.
Yeah, obviously Tyson Bowes is a receiver going into a senior season here. I really believe in the journey that he's kind of had, and I know he might not be the statistical monster that maybe a Charles Pierre is, but just his journey through our program has kind of really the epitome of what I think it means to be a Yote. You know, he started as a young player in our program, special teams, limited play on offense, earned his way to some limited reps on offense, and then, last year started to get more touches and involved more in the offense. And then this season, obviously, in his last year, has kind of primed himself for a great senior finale. So super excited about Tyson. I love his work ethic. I love him as a human being. Just like I said, the epitome of a Yote. Nathan LaPerry is obviously a transfer from for us, has came in here and just put his head down and just bought all into what it means to be a Yote, and hasn't made it about himself or what level he came from or what program he came from. He's just all in on us, his teammates, the coaching staff, and had a great season last year. One of our biggest producers on defense coming back in the defensive front, and obviously having a representation from the trenches is important to me because that's where I think the game's won. So excited about Nathan. He's got a couple of years left with us still, but wanted to bring him along today just to show my appreciation for him.
And certainly it's a big year ahead for your squad. Charles Pierre, let's start there about his resurgence, his comeback year. How's he doing? And what's his mentality like coming off an injury in a season like that? That was surely, you could view it as a disappointment, disappointing season not being on the field.
Yeah, I think Charles is in a great spot mentally and obviously physically. He's ready to go. He'll be ready to go at the start of fall camp, 100%. He looks great. He's had a great summer. You know, with the season LJ had, I think a lot of people kind of have forgotten about Charles Pierre. You know, LJ, tremendous season, you know, broke a ton of records, did all those things. I think Charles is ready to be at the forefront of that. I think Charles is ready to remind some people that he is the best tailback in the country in his mind. So, yeah, he's in a great spot mentally, physically. We're ready to, you know, kind of let him loose here to start the season.
Lastly, of course, I can't help but not ask you about quarterback. That's the question you're going to get all the time. Just take me through those three guys, what you like about each and what you're seeing. I know it's not decision time just yet, but give me what you got so far on those three.
Yeah, obviously, you know, love all three kids. All three guys have really bought into me. You know, obviously coaching that position, you know, the year prior. I love those guys. I trust those guys. This is going to be a tough, tough decision for me and for our staff and for our football team eventually. You know, Nevin Crimascoli has obviously kind of been with us the longest. He's, you know, kind of the seasoned vet. He's been Aiden's backup the past two seasons, has seen some time in our league, has played some snaps. Nevin is kind of that epitome of consistency, right? He knows how to command a huddle. He does that those things really well for us. Jackson Proctor brings a ton of, you know, experience, you know, he's ran the football. Yote fans aren't used to seeing, you know, the quarterback run the football, so he can provide some of that. And then I think lastly is Austin Majewski from Colorado. Just a younger player for us. You know, how fast can he catch on? Because his talent is unbelievable. It's undeniable. So, yeah, just kind of seeing how fast he can mature and grow into that leader that we needed him to be in that huddle. So, love where we're at. But more importantly, I think we're going to surround those guys with who's ever out there, the 10 other guys. They're not going to have to play out of their mind great to be good for us. We're going to make sure we put them in great calls. We're going to surround them with great people. And who's ever out there, the Yotes will be just fine.
It's a big season ahead for USD Coyote football. MVFC Media Day. That's Coach Matt Vistham. Coach, go get him this fall. Thanks for the time today.
Absolutely. I appreciate you, everything you do for us.
Great coach there. Great conversation. Matt Vistham yesterday. We got a boogie on into the Jackrabbit coverage now. Yotes picked fifth in the preseason poll. Jackrabbits got 28 first place votes. They're the top dog. Here's head coach Dan Jackson, yesterday at Media Day.
Back with you on Overtime. It's MVFC Media Day, talking Jackrabbit football. Head coach Dan Jackson. Coach, fun day here. Opportunity to get out and about and put the conference on display. How are you guys doing this week?
We're doing great. It was a huge turnout for the media today, which is impressive. I'm really proud of our local media for making this a big deal. And then so many of the other teams to be able to bring the media from their areas and fly into Sioux Falls has made it a special day. I think it's double the amount of media that we had a year ago, which is really cool.
Certainly, this is kind of a home away from home for you guys. Back down the road in Sioux Falls, but what kind of support do you guys feel from this community and just the state in general as a program?
It's the biggest reason why I came back here is I wanted to be a head coach, but somewhere where that they believed in the program, that they were going to stick with the program, that they were going to support it, not only financially, but just from a feel standpoint. And our guys feel that every single day. We're grateful to be a part of this university and the football program, but a lot of it is because of the state that we're in. And we feel like we're the biggest thing going in the state of South Dakota. And that's a cool thing. It's a lot of work to run a football program or to play in a program. It's a lot more meaningful when you're doing it when everybody cares.
Let's talk about your team. Obviously, it's been a while since we talked to you on the air here, but spring ball into summer, how are you feeling about the team and movers and shakers, new faces, guys coming back? How's everything coming together for you?
We're confident. We're a well-oiled machine now. There was at times last year we were getting caught up on learning schematics and learning each other and learning our systems and how things are organized. Feel a ton more confident in that and the system that have been put in place. I think the coaching staff is really tight and close and cohesive, and they have an understanding. That's an underrated deal. We have a lot of talented coaches, but not many of them had worked together before. Now they have, and so I've seen the growth that way, and then it bleeds into the players' understanding of the game. We're the best strength coach in the country, firmly believe that, and so our guys are big, fast, strong. We're in a much better position than we were, and I'm excited to see our first, second, and third-year players that may not have played a lot be able to play this year, because I think there's going to be some names that we're going to be talking about that not many people know right now.
Certainly a name people do know right now is the guy over there, Chase Mason, quarterback guys. Obviously, the talk of the town, quarterbacks at any school are going to be a big deal, but what do you get out of him as a leader? Athleticism speaks for itself, but what kind of leap are you expecting, and what do you get out of him as a leader there on the football field?
Yeah, I'm so proud of him. It's been fun to be able to truly get to know him over the last couple years because he's such a unique person. He should be, he's everything that's right about college football. He plays for a place that means a lot to him, and he's vocal about that. I've seen him grow in his faith. I've seen him grow in his maturity. His leadership comes natural to him because he's authentic to who he is. He doesn't need to be a rah-rah guy or lead like that guy or lead, you know, when he's in the locker room, he's just one of the guys, which then leads a lot of people to gravitate towards him. And I think his ability to lead will grow because now he's got a full understanding of the offense and he can actually teach other guys what to do. And I've seen that grow a lot.
And certainly another guy that's here with you, Logan Green. What does he bring to the table for you? And as a leader, but also just kind of the one of the anchors on that defensive side for you.
Yeah, it starts up front for us. I wish I could bring the whole O-line and whole D-line to this along with Chase, but couldn't do that. Logan sets the tone for us that way. He's one of the strongest guys on the team. Really brought him. It's a full circle moment for him. He started in our program as a walk-on, believed in that vision, earned a scholarship, became a captain a year ago, and now he's a two-time captain. And so proud of him. He's got a deep connection to South Dakota State. He has pride in leaving this place better than he found it, and he also really wants to make the players of the past proud. And so I thought he was a perfect representative for us.
Talking with Coach Dan Jackson, South Dakota State Jackrabbit football here on Overtime. Lastly, Coach, final couple questions for you. Just message to the fans. I know people, it doesn't take much to get fired up about Jackrabbit football, but what comes to mind, just a message to the fans ahead of getting into the month of August before we know it?
I would say sell out the stadium. We did a phenomenal job of that last year, and we needed that support through a ton of adversity and change and growth that was occurring, and our fans were with us. You're going to be proud of the product you see every single Saturday. You're going to see the growth. We need to sell it out. It needs to be loud, and I look forward to seeing them all in the fall. But we feel their support. We can't wait to make them proud. Get your season tickets if you haven't got them, because you're not going to want to miss this team.
Lastly for you, Coach, we talked a little off air, Bears-Packers. You got Tucker Kraft. You got Pierre Strong Jr. You got Benjamin St. Juice. Are you starting to be a little bit more warm and fuzzy about my Packers?
I will always cheer for those individuals, and I will cheer for the Packers when they're not playing the Bears. My wife is a Vikings fan, and she's been on me for years to change over to the Vikings. That's just not who I am. That's not how it works. She's learned that now. But no, I may need to at least get a Tucker Kraft jersey. But both Tuck and Pierre have been back multiple times our first year, which was really cool. So they're going to have big years.
And that's head coach Dan Jackson, South Dakota State Jackrabbits. Appreciate the time, Coach. We'll talk to you again real soon.
You're the man. Thank you.
Very fun conversations across the board. UNI Panther coach Todd Stepsis, Brock Spack of Illinois State, USD's Matt Fitzthum. And moments ago, just wrapped up that conversation from yesterday with Jackrabbit's second year head football coach Dan Jackson. Ton of fun yesterday at MVFC Media Day. We'll be sharing more audio with you tomorrow into Friday on the show. We got to hurry up and get to break, because when we come back, we have to test your wits with the identity crisis in a hurry as we round out and wrap up hour number one. A current NFL football player on my mind. If you know your stuff, this is going to be a layup. You want to win? Stick around. 605-362-3776. After the break, when I start giving clues, you can win big, including an OPH gift card. Coming up next on Overtime.
It's so convenient. Sports on the go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's the Wednesday edition of Overtime, and we want winners right now. I don't have time for the NFL talk we promised at the end of this hour, but I will promise to squeeze it in to hour number two after our conversation with New Augustana volleyball head coach Erica Butte in studio. We'll talk football, World Cup, Major League Baseball, and of course the good, the bad, and the ugly. But we got a skedaddle here out of hour number one, which means you and yours need to know your stuff to win a prize pack right now. The Identity Crisis, featuring a current NFL player, up for grabs right now on Overtime.
I don't know. Who are you?
Me? I know who I am. I'm a dude
playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Well, this is exhausting. Let's see if you can tell us the sports figure we're talking about in today's identity crisis on Overtime.
If you think you know your stuff, how about you prove it for a big prize pack right now on the air? 605-362-3776, the number to dial, 605-362-3776. If you're a first-time caller, first-time winner, let me know. I'll hook you up with a beefier prize pack than normal, including an ESPN Sioux Falls t-shirt. Identity Crisis brought to you by the Original Pancake House for the very best in breakfast. There is no doubt. Visit OPH in Sioux Falls at the corner of 41st and Kiwanis. Your clues right now, a current NFL wide receiver. This particular current NFL wide receiver went to USC, not South Carolina, but Southern California. This player wears number 11. He's been in the league since 2020, was a second-round pick of the Indianapolis Colts, and has played for the Colts and now plays for the black and gold Pittsburgh Steelers. You're on with Overtime. Caller number one. What's your name?
Charger Josh.
Charger Josh. You got to know this, man. This is a layup. Who am I talking about? Was a Colt, is now a Steeler, has not suited up in Pittsburgh yet, is a wide receiver. What do you got for me, Charger Josh?
All right. You know I like to joke, and I don't like to win. I like other people to win.
Come
so,
on.
brother, I'm going Shane Falco.
Shane Falco is correct, my friend. No, it's not. It's not Shane Falco. I miss Charger Josh, though. But let's talk about that Fiesta Bowl. Did anybody have anything better to do that night than watch that game? Over to line number two we go. Turn down your radio in the background for me. You're on with Overtime. What's your name?
This is Brad.
Brad. What's today's correct answer, Brad?
Is it Michael Pittman?
Michael Pittman. I'll give you credit. It's Michael Pittman Jr. Michael Pittman Sr., pretty darn good running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and other Super Bowl winner. Michael Pittman Jr., the name I'm looking for today. Brad, hang on hold, man. I'm hopping into break right now. Get you hooked up with your prize pack. Michael Pittman Jr. I'm going to tell you right now, I think that dude is in for a good season. Some would say great season. With the Pittsburgh Steelers, they improved that wide receiver core a ton. No more Adam Thielen at age 87. No more Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Love the dude, but we're moving on. You got Michael Pittman Jr. You got Jeremy Bernard. You got DK Metcalf, another year in the system. I like what's cooking. Notice I didn't say love. Like what's cooking in Pittsburgh. We take a break, come back, reset hour number two. Headlines and highlights coming up next on Overtime.